Well, Merry Christmas again, everybody, and welcome. Thanks for coming out tonight. It is a joy to be with you here tonight. And Christmas definitely is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It absolutely is. And over the last few weeks, we here at St. Hilary, we've been looking at how to have what we've been calling a classic Christmas. When you read a classic piece of literature, enjoy a classic work of art, or watch a classic old movie, it sets a standard of excellence. And so we're talking about a classic Christmas because we want to rediscover the best part of the holiday. I'm sure there was a time in your life when Christmas was like an epic adventure. You couldn't wait for Christmas Eve. There was kind of a sparkle and fascination about the season to which no other time of the year could compare. It was a time of innocence and childlike wonder. But maybe now it's all about checking off the boxes, putting up the decorations, trimming the tree, picking out gifts, sending out cards, cleaning the house, preparing the holiday meal, getting everything ready for family and friends. It's easy to forget how special this time of year really is. And so in this series, we've been looking at how to reclaim all that was once magical about the holiday. And to do that, we've already talked about, over the last few weeks, we've talked about how important it is to try to believe again. To believe again in maybe someone or something you've lost faith in. How we need to find hope again in our world by turning towards Christ and looking in the right direction. We also talked about how we need to guard our hearts from negative influences. And just last week we said it's important to have a new mindset and expect extraordinary things from God. And tonight on this Christmas Eve, I want to talk with you about being born again. This Thanksgiving, I went home to Atlanta to see family and friends. It was the first time in almost 5 years. I visited my older brother and his family, and it's always a joy to be with him because he's so positive. No matter what life throws at him, he won't let the problems and negativity and the skepticism of the world pull him down. Wednesday afternoon, we spent time at the Georgia Aquarium. It was like being with a little kid. And he was so fascinated by the sharks and the whales and the playful sea otters. In fact, I think he was more mesmerized than his 2-year-old granddaughter. But my brother hasn't always been that way. His unrelenting positivity began about 20 years ago when he was born again. Like me, my brother was baptized and grew up in a traditional Christian denomination, but it never really connected with him. And then one day, decades later, he's flipping through the channels on the television and stumbles across a popular preacher. He started watching. Then he kept watching. Sunday after Sunday, he kept watching this preacher, and eventually, one day, he declared himself to be born again. Now, as Catholics, we don't always understand that. In fact, some people make fun of it, but actually, Jesus talked about it. In the Gospel of John, a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a high-ranking religious official. He didn't want the other Pharisees to know about his visit because they had rejected Jesus. But Nicodemus was intrigued and wanted to learn more. And as part of their conversation, Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Now, this didn't make sense to Nicodemus. How is this possible? So he said, "How can a person who has grown old be born again?" Jesus said, "No one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and spirit." He was talking about being born again as children of God through baptism. Now, I don't want to be presumptuous. There's a lot of people here tonight. I don't know many of you, but I don't think I'd be too far off the mark if I were to say that a few of you, at least a few of you, might feel like many other people in the world. You were baptized a long time ago by your parents or, you know, by a priest or something. Your parents brought you for baptism, but over the years, maybe you've grown a little cold to faith. Maybe you don't think too much about God right now. You know he's out there somewhere in the background, but the daily demands, the deadlines, the hectic pace of life maybe keep you a little distracted, unfocused, unsure about faith, maybe even disbelieving. And of course, the church and its problems and scandals hasn't done much to help with that. I understand that. But it's very easy to go along with the negativity and cynicism of this world. And so what I think we really need, all of us, this Christmas, is to be born again as children of wonder. Children of wonder. Scripture says that God gave us the power to become his children. That means we can be born again. We can be born again every day. Now, don't worry, I'm not talking about having a revival here under the tents in the plaza, or baptizing, rebaptizing people out on the bay. That would be fun. Or holding an altar call here, you know, at the end of Mass. Don't worry. What I'm saying is that all of us can come more and more alive. We can live new lives, lives of wonder and awe, of innocence and childlike trust in God as our Father, no matter what happens, even when things go wrong. We can all begin to see each new morning as not just another occasion to get up and trudge through the day, hoping to avoid criticism, hold off disaster, just get through the daily grind, but as a true gift, an opportunity every day to grow and learn. Maybe what a lot of us need this Christmas is a new vision, a new attitude, a new approach that comes from above. On Thanksgiving Day, I spent it with my friends in Atlanta, and the house was packed full of people. Every room, there was young and old standing elbow to elbow. Everyone was in good cheer and having a great time. It's amazing I didn't get COVID. But anyway, but by far, it was a two-year-old girl named Olivia who stole the show. And at one time, we were gathered in the living room, and it was about 30 of us. And I'm telling you, every pair of eyes was on this little girl. She charmed the whole crowd. She melted everyone's heart. You can see her doing her thing here. She's in the background, and those two people are her grandparents, my very longtime friends. And you can see that they're completely captivated with this girl. And that gentleman in the front, he's the grandfather, and he's my good friend. I've known him for almost 20 years, and his name is Dave. And I got to say, he's a beloved curmudgeon, you know, one of those people that just kind of plods through life. I love you very much, David, if you're watching, but you know how you are, right? And look at the expression on his face. Completely captivated. And I got to say, everybody in that room, we were caught up in the wonder of that moment and that rare opportunity to see the world through the eyes of a small child. It kind of reminded me of that time when the disciples of Jesus were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. And Jesus called over a small child and brought the child in front of them and said, "Guys, you got it all wrong. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, if you want to have a happy life, you have to become like little children." He was saying that we should have as much trust in God as most children have in their parents. And when children trust their parents, they feel safe, secure, unafraid. And that's what allows them to live their lives wonder and excitement, anticipation, and pure joy. I read in the paper a few weeks ago that Bible sales have been skyrocketing recently. This year alone, purchases are up 22%. There may be lots of reasons for that, but one of them, I'm sure, is the general anxiety that most people feel today. Many of us are worried about the economy, violent conflicts overseas, uncertainty about the future, the general state of the world. And because of that, more and more people are returning to the tried and true, the age-old source of wisdom, the Bible, the book that contains the answers to life's most difficult questions. It's easy to lose our childlike spirit with so many problems in the world and in our own lives. Problems at work, problems with our family, with our health, lots of problems. But maybe it helps a little bit to know that on that first Christmas night, 2,000 years ago, the people of that time faced many of the same problems we do today. There was political turmoil, religious controversy, more and more crime. The Romans were in charge. They were oppressing the people. The emperor had just imposed another census, demanding that everybody participate and be counted. It was a way of increasing taxes and solidifying their control over the region. It forced many people to travel long distances to enroll in their hometowns. It took Mary and Joseph, for example, 3 days on foot to reach Jerusalem at a time when Mary was very pregnant. Everything about that night was a struggle. Everything. The travel, the no room in the inn, having to bed down in a cold, dark cave with a bunch of smelly animals. Everything was a struggle. And for the shepherds of that region, it was just another cold night out in the fields tending to their flocks. Sounds romantic, but it was really a low-paying, menial job that no one really wanted. It was just another day for everyone just trying to get through, you know, like you and me, dealing with issues and problems all the time. But suddenly, everything changed. The night sky erupted in unimaginable light. The glory of the Lord shone around those shepherds. An angel appeared and said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is Christ and Lord." It was exactly how the prophet Isaiah had foretold, that one day God would raise up a new king. He would bring justice and unity and never-ending peace. And on that day, it would be like a great light shining over a dark land, like a bountiful harvest putting an end to hunger, like a glorious military victory over the powers of darkness and oppression. And Isaiah put it this way, "For a child is born to us, a son is given us." And it was that same sign that the angel gave to those shepherds and said, "You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And in an instant, the awe and wonder that fills the heavens spilled over into our troubled world. There was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The shepherds raced off to Bethlehem and found the child just as the angel had said. They went out and they proclaimed the message, the good news to everyone. And all that heard, Scripture says, wondered at those things told them by the shepherds. One of my favorite holiday traditions is getting together with friends and watching the classic Christmas movie, Elf. Anybody seen it? Elf, right? It's a great story. If you haven't seen it, it's about a man named Buddy who is raised by elves at the North Pole. And he thinks he's one of them. But when he discovers the disturbing truth that he's actually human, he travels to New York City to find his biological father, who doesn't know who he is, doesn't even know he exists, and is in some desperate need of Christmas spirit. What I love about the movie is Buddy's unbridled joy and optimism. No matter how gruff, rude, disgruntled, cynical those New Yorkers are, no offense, New Yorkers, but you all know how you are. Anyway, no matter how rude they are, Buddy never loses his sense of wonder about every new sight and experience, like finding used gum stuck to handrails, or revolving doors in the front of buildings, or zebra stripes on crosswalks, or a ticklish shoeshine, or a terrible cup of coffee that claims to be the world's best. And even at the end of the movie, when Buddy finally finds his place in life, he grows up, he realizes he's not an elf, but he still holds on to his sense of wonder. What if this Christmas we could all do the same? What if we could be born again as children of wonder? And why not? Why not be born again? I mean, after all, thousands of years ago, in a dark cave, on a cold night, in a little-known region of the world, the Son of God and wonder counselor of every man, woman, and child was born for us. My dear children, Merry Christmas.